chapter 3,
verses 1 to 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard?
ガラテヤ人の手紙3章1節から5節を日本語でお読みします。ああ愚かなガラテヤ人、十字架につけられたイエス・キリストがあなた方の目の前にあんなにはっきり示されたのに、誰があなた方を迷わせたのですか。ただこれだけをあなた方から聞いておきたい。あなた方が御霊を受けたのは律法を行ったからですか、それとも信仰を持って聞いたからですか。あなた方はどこまで道理がわからないのですか。御霊で始まったあなた方が今肉によって完成されるというのですか。あなた方があれほどのことを経験したのは無駄だったのでしょうか。万が一にもそんなことはないでしょうか。とすればあなた方に御霊を与え、あなた方の間で奇跡を行われた方はあなた方が律法を行ったからそうなさったのですか。それともあなた方が信仰を持って聞いたからですか。
Good morning again.You guys doing all right? Tough year for the U of A basketball. There's one of you that understands. beautiful weather, amen? It's been, I just got back from San Jose and it was actually beautiful there. They told me it was raining and cold prior to me going there and that they were expecting more rain after I left.And so I think I carry Arizona weather with me wherever I go. I bring the sun. I was not expecting that, but praise God, thank you. We're going through the book of Galatians. And as we go through that, the studies of Galatians, I do encourage each and every one of you to do your own study of Galatians.And I encourage you because the book of Galatians deals with false teachers and false teachings. And so it's always good to ask yourself whether you're watching something on television, listening to something on radio, reading something on your iPad, whatever.About Christianity, does this measure up with what's given to us in Scripture? And so we're going to be taking a look at that today. I'm a little disoriented because I'm missing half my notes. So you might get half the sermon today. we'll see what happens. Anyways, but let us pray. Again, dear Heavenly Father, you who are so wonderful,Worthy of worship and praise. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you so much that you gathered us here together to meet with you. And we invite your Holy Spirit to come. Fill our hearts. Fill this place. We ask for a greater measure of your presence, Lord, to touch us.And a greater awareness of your presence, Lord, as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked, the message was about justification by faith. And the scripture passage we looked at was in Galatians 2:16. It says, nobody is justified by the law, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, I want to take a deeper look at what this faith is. What is this faith that Paul is talking about that is so amazing that it justifies us before God? And to explain what I mean when I say justification, justification is a legal state that we are in before God, meaning just as if I have never sinned. Isn't that amazing? That we can stand before God and legally stand before Him in a state where just as if I have never sinned because of faith in Jesus Christ. Past, present, future sins on my ledger, deleted, paid in full. There's a faith that can do that.
Amen.
Now we know that, I don't know if you guys got these, but you could fill it in or not. I thought it would be helpful. I might not cover all of it, but in our Christian faith, there are at least three pillars. I'm not saying these are all the pillars, but there's at least three, which are faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, these three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. And I don't want us to forget that. The greatest is love. But today I would like to talk about faith with that in mind. Because in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we cannot bring a smile on God's face. Isn't that kind of interesting? It doesn't say it's hard to, it says it's impossible to. As we look through Galatians, we see that false teachers and false teachings may not deny faith. However, they will disguise other requirements with the Bible, using Scripture. They'll disguise their false teaching using this as their source, in the wrong way, to justify what they want to do. Or as Paul says, to enslave us. They are zealous for you, but their zeal is to enslave you. So we need to be careful. Just because something is written in Scripture, it can be taken out of context, and or it can be used for selfish gains and selfish means. And we need to be careful and be watchful for those things. The Bible tells us to be watchful and careful. Now, what is faith? If it's impossible to please God without faith, if it's so powerful to justify us before God, what is this faith and do we live according to that faith? And today I want to take a look at that. Faith, according to Galatians, comprises of at least two key components, which are hearing and believing. Faith comprises of at least hearing and believing. Let's open up to Galatians. If you have your Bible, if you could pull up your Bibles on your whatever you brought today. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3. I've mentioned this before, but you know times have changed. When the flipping of pages have almost become obsolete, you know? It's more like the tapping of fingers now. When I was growing up as a Christian, when someone said, turn to this page, everyone literally turned to that page. Today, when I say turn to that page, it's reach in your pocket, take out your phone, and press some apps. It's very convenient. But turn with me, however you want. And in Galatians 3:2, I'll just read it from one. This is Paul's word now. It says, you foolish Galatians. I think Paul is being encouraging there. It says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before your very eyes? Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? He could have, in my opinion, I think he could have replaced the last part with faith. He says, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by hearing and believing? And obviously it's the latter, it's hearing and believing. And I believe he uses hearing and believing to describe the type of faith that we need, because prior to that, he was talking about it's only by faith we receive these things. Now, what does it mean to hear and believe? And I'd like to try to describe it by telling you what it's not and what we may confuse it for. Hearing and believing is not simply knowing all the right answers. It's not simply gathering information from the Bible. Hearing and believing is not simply reading the Bible and gathering as much facts and information as you can. I'm not saying those are bad things to do. In fact, those are great things to do. We should do those things, but that's not what hearing and believing is. And we can get those two twisted. James tells us in 2:19, James 19, it says, you believe that God is one, you have correct theology, great. He says, even the demons believe and shudder. And James is not saying, because the demons have the right answers, are they going to heaven? He's not implying that at all. He's saying, look, you could have all the right answers and still be in the wrong place. And so we have to be careful that we don't misunderstand faith and hearing and believing simply as gathering information. Anybody could gather information. Anyone could go through the scripture, read it, read commentaries on it, and understand it and fully comprehend what the Bible is teaching and still not have the faith that I believe is required here and that what God is calling us to live in. We've come, especially, I can only speak for here in America, but measuring spirituality has become the ability to clearly articulate, which I may not be doing right now, which probably is a good thing if I didn't, but it's become a practice of just clearly articulating information. Meaning that spirituality is measured by how much we've memorized, how much of the Greek we could expound on, etc., etc. Again, those are great things. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying look down upon those kinds of practices. Those are great, useful, useful tools. Great to have in our hearts. You know, having scripture in our hearts will keep us from certain sins, just practically. However, that kind of spirituality, you know, I have the whole book of Galatians memorized kind of thing. Great, that's awesome. Or, you know, I could read Hebrew and Greek and expound on it like no other man on this earth. Great. That's not me, I'm just giving you examples. That's actually akin to a merit-based salvation, works-based salvation. You are working towards trying to earn God's favor. You are working towards trying to be pleasing to God. And here, Paul clearly says that that's not how this thing works. Verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by human effort? Not that human effort doesn't have a place, but if it becomes the prominent place, then we've misunderstood God's grace in our life. We've misunderstood the cross. We've misunderstood Jesus' teaching. We misunderstand who Jesus is and what he came to do. Justification is by faith. However, everything else that follows it is also by faith. If without faith, it's impossible to please God, it says. Not that he doesn't appreciate hard work. Not that that's not godly character. But replacing hard work is a misappropriation of what hard work is supposed to be. You guys doing okay out there? You guys, I get it. We're ready to party. We're ready to dance. We're ready to eat. But Jesus is good. Somebody say amen on that one. Come on. I need some help. It's really hard to see this way because, you know, we have the lights and the windows are open. So I don't know what's going on out there. Like, so I need some verbal affirmation and confirmation because right now I don't know if I'm in the right place. You guys are, we're in a Christian church, okay. I do see the crosses everywhere. I am in the right place, good. But you know, we gotta be careful because the system of the world works in that way. The system of the world, they value all. Not that Christianity don't value these things; it does as well. But the system of this world not only values it but puts it as king. Knowledge is power. Now, I'm not saying information isn't useful. But knowledge in the kingdom of God is not power. The person in power is the Holy Spirit. It's a different system. It's a completely different system. And they go and they actually are antagonistic towards each other, as we will see. But the knowledge of God doesn't come from simply gathering information. The knowledge of God comes through divine revelation. And if you have your Bibles or your phones, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. This is a key passage amongst many Christians and a place maybe of contention between Christians and Catholics. But I'd like to just look at this passage because it is considered maybe the first confession of faith. I'll read further from starting from verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And he was referring to himself. He was basically asking, who are people saying that I am? To his disciples. And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Let's stop there for a second. Jesus asked the question, who are people saying that I am? I believe that's what's going on here. And they're saying these names, these prophets, these important people. And then Jesus turns to his disciple, well, who do you say that I am? You know, do you think I'm one of the prophets? Elijah, Jeremiah, etc., etc. And Peter speaks up and says, no, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was surprised because that was probably the first time Simon Peter said something really good. No, I'm just kidding. Simon Peter was a great man of God. He got in trouble a lot of times for what he said, but this time he was rewarded. Jesus says, blessed are you. It's like, wow, that's amazing. Simon, do you know what just happened? He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Simon, you didn't get this by your efforts or just because you're a good person, Simon. He said something very interesting. He said, my Father in heaven gave this to you. Simon Peter might have been scratching his head and saying, when did he do that? You know? But in that instant, there was a voice. I think in sociology or something, it might be called discursive talk. But it's that self-talk that we have. Within that self-talk, as Jesus was talking, there was a self-talk that said, he is the Messiah, Son of the living God. And Peter just repeated that. You are the Messiah, Son of the living God. And Jesus must have done like a double take. Wow. You just heard my Father right now. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, he gave you that information. And I want you to know that that's how God works many times. Not all the times, but even now, as you're having your self-talk here, that there is some that is from the Father, some that is flesh and blood, some that's not even from either of those two sources. It's a dangerous source. But as you are here and listening to this message, I believe these three things are happening simultaneously, and God wants to speak to you. Because faith comes from hearing and believing. Hearing and believing in this scripture passage in the context of Galatians is compared to a false spirituality which consists of the works of the law. In Galatians 3:5, let's go back to Galatians. Galatians 3:5 reads, does God give you his spirit and work his miracles among you by your observing the law or by your believing what you heard? Let me read that again. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by your observance of the law or by your believing what you heard? Again, a rhetorical question. Is not through the observance of law. Isn't that amazing? That the miracles that were occurring in those times weren't because they're close to abiding with the law. I'm not promoting lawlessness. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not promoting lawlessness. In the beginning of my message, you know, I made it clear that love is the most important attribute. However, in this discussion of what faith is, it is opposed to the law. Even the miracles, even the Holy Spirit that's within you, it was not because of our strict observance of the law. It was simply a gift called grace through faith that you heard and you believed. Those who live according to the works of the law will be hostile toward those who live according to the Spirit. And you'll see that in Galatians 5:17. We won't turn there. But there is a constant battle between the two. The flesh works according to the law, the legalistic system, and the Spirit, which is lives according to the freedom and the knowledge of God. Not the information of God, but the knowledge of God. Whenever you see knowledge of God in Scripture, it is an intimate, experiential knowledge of God. Not an philosophical understanding of God. But those who live according to the works of the law will be hostile toward those who live according to the Spirit. And false spirituality will actually use the same language and same sources to justify and gratify the desires of their flesh. You see an extreme example of this with extreme, on the TV anyway, with extreme Muslims. They justify beheading with their scriptures. Now, Christians also have a history of making similar mistakes, and that is the end result, is murder, is trying to get away with whatever you can if we use this book. Simply in that way, we might be able to. In fact, that's how they got away with killing Jesus. They used this book and say, hey, look, see here. Jesus just blasphemed. And what does it say? If you blaspheme, we could kill him. Let's kill him. Because the system that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious system of that time, they were working under that principle. While Jesus, although did not break any of the law, ironically, was still antagonistic to those who abided by that system. And you see this all throughout Scripture. True spirituality, however, will use spiritual language and sources to deepen and satisfy their relationship with God, with Jesus. I'm not saying disregard this, but when we do read this, make sure you're connecting with the author of this, which is God. If you're praying, make sure you're connecting with God, not simply trying to get stuff that you want from God. There's a difference. And it's a process of discerning. And it is a long process, but it is a process of learning to recognize God's voice and believing those things that God tells you. Amen. Now, we have a wonderful guest here today, Reiko Yoshitani. And I'd just like to allow her like a couple minutes to share some of the things God's been placing on her heart. Because I want you to know that this wonderful church started from that kind of faith. It was because Reiko just began to sit before the Lord and speak to Him. And He started speaking to her. And as that happened, she was able to connect with certain people. As she believed the things that she was communicating with God, this church was birthed. So if you would help me welcome Reiko Yoshitani. Reiko-san, would you please come up?
I think you should use.
Thank you, Pastor. The message is so good and so important, very, very important to each of us. And so I don't want to disturb this moment. Already he said, I wanted to tell you one thing, exactly what he explained, relationship with God. Everybody, individually and corporately, together or individually, please sit, looking at the Catalina Mountain or wherever, and just sit before Jesus. Maybe one day, or 1 week, or 1 month, but just talk with Him, listen to His voice, of course with the Bible. And then he said very nice to me, nice for me, and I started this church in the whole 1 month. I couldn't, not 1 month, many, many months, no pastor, no friend, Christian friend. And so all I have to do is before Lord, just to Him. And so through those experience, I feel so good with Jesus. Good, I just come to Jesus just like a friend or father or, I'm sorry, Jesus, but yes, that kind of intimacy. And I want, if it's possible, all of you, take time and just before Jesus only, forget about everything and make promise or relationship and promise. And I did a long time ago and still same promise I'm keeping. It's so good I promised. I cannot deny because He is always with us, checking us, and so I cannot deny. I cannot forget the experience in Tucson. Only in Tucson we can do it. Because I came to Tucson. So, maybe you are living here, so you don't know this, but come from Los Angeles, that kind of heavy traffic and many things. And there, it's completely different world. Different world. Sky is different, people are different, street is different. I feel that. And so please enjoy the relationship with Holy Spirit. And develop it. Develop it. And then, I think Jesus is waiting for you to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reiko. It's always really good to see you. It really is. In my own experience, reading through scripture, trying to memorize scripture, I find that during the day, well, when I first became Christian, I would read scripture and I wouldn't really understand it. And then I was just doing the normal things of life. All of a sudden, God would speak to me about those scriptures. It's kind of weird. And you know, I don't know why it would pop up in my mind, but it just would. And God would speak to me. And even today, that still happens. I'm not asking for anything. It's just, I'm just doing stuff. And then it feels like the Lord is saying, hey, Aki, remember that scripture? And He'll start talking to me about it. And so scripture is important to have a source of reference. There's only so much analogy God can do with like sports and stuff. And so it's good to have just a credible source for Him to have a point of reference. But the Lord, He does speak. And that's, I believe, His greatest desire, God's greatest desire for each and every one of us, is to have that relationship. True spirituality will use language and sources such as scripture, the ultimate source, but even books and teachings to deepen and satisfy our relationship with God. The works of the law has a form of godliness but denies its power because it replaces having a relationship with God. Relationships are, as you may know, are hard sometimes. They're not easy. They're difficult. It's actually easier to interact with your phone because it's a system. It's easier to interact with things that are set in place. And oftentimes we try to do that with God when we have a law workspace, I'll say religion. That's just rigid. It's just easier that way. We know what to expect. If we put A, B, C, and N, we're going to get D every time with a system. Every time. Unless the system is broken. Then it's not my fault. It's the system's fault. There's something wrong with the system. And we need to be careful because the entire world operates on systems. Because they're more efficient. They get better results. It's a lot easier. God is not a system, though. Although He may have placed systems in place, He is not a system. He is a person. It says in John 17:3 that He has come to give us eternal life. Not to mix that up with life that is eternal. But eternal life is a quality of life which is to know God, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom He sent. Again, that know is an intimate relationship, experiential know. Do you know God that way? Do you have that faith? That is the faith, I believe, brings justification, a pleasing faith in your life. That is the faith that brings the Spirit in motion in your life. To see miracles in your life, it requires that type of faith and not faith in a system that the law is trying to produce in our lives. Let us pray. Now for those of you, as we close our eyes and bow our hearts, I do want to invite you, if you don't have that type of faith, and you would like to have that type of faith, I'd like to give you that invitation right now. You simply just have to ask. It starts there, just like any relationship. It's an asking for Him, God, to come into our life. So if you don't have that relationship and would like it, like to have it, and don't know where to begin, begin here. Begin by saying, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you speak to me, Lord, like the saints of old, just like you spoke to Abraham, just like you spoke to Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Peter, Paul, all these people you spoke to personally, intimately. I invite you into my life to do the same. All you have to do is ask him. Just say, Jesus, would you come into my life? Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Lord, that that which we seek is a gift from you. And it's not through striving. It's not through merit. But it's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we are so indebted to the price you paid for the freedom we have. For the forgiveness we have. We thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.